Good morning to you all. Stronger, better together. Yes. Yes. Good. And we've been, I've been doing a series which we've called The Principles of the Kingdom. And this morning we're going to do another one of those. And in many ways it flows on from the previous one, which I won't embarrass you by asking what the last one was. But I'll remind you, it was submit to God and be at peace. Submit to God, and we talked about submission. And this is in many ways like the second part of the same thing. And this morning, the principle is live in freedom. We've heard a lot about that already this morning. Freedom. Sandra mentioned Isaiah 61, about the Spirit of the Lord is upon me in order to set the captives free, to release the prisoners. Freedom. The world works on a definition of freedom which roughly goes, I can do what I like, when I like, and how I like. I asked my 13-year-old granddaughter, just in passing, as you do, so tell me, what do you understand by freedom? And she said, freedom is to be able to go shopping whenever I want and buy whatever I want. I might add, she's already found out that that sort of freedom is largely inaccessible. Freedom. The Lord calls us to live in freedom and wants to give us freedom. We've heard about it. It's an interesting thing, isn't it, that many people reject Christianity because they say, if I become a Christian, it will take away my freedom. I will no longer be able to do what I want to do. Christianity is just rules and regulations. It's a great irony that actually the very people that say that are the people that are in bondage. That's what the scripture says. The scripture says that you're in bondage to your sin, that you're a prisoner of your sin, and that Jesus will set you free. We want to be set free. We want to live free. We learned last week that there is the world, the flesh, and the devil. I had a few comments about me being the world last week. And crowding the pastor. Well, I was just entering into the role. The world, the flesh, and the devil want to put you into bondage. They're a prison. Each one of them is a prison that wants to suck you in and lock you up there. But Jesus came to set the captives free and wants us to live in that freedom. I want to tell you something about myself. It's not really that special, but I hate rules. Now, that's a rather funny thing. I know I'm a lawyer and I live my life because of rules and laws and regulations. And I want to tell you, I hate them. I hate bureaucracy. This is not a political statement. It's just the only statistics that I've got. But the Blair Brown government created 10 new laws every day for 10 years. When you're a lawyer, that's hard going. Because you're supposed to be trying to keep up with all this. 10 laws every day for 10 years. Laws, rules and regulations. However, the big problem for us this morning is, Pilate said, what is truth? And the big problem is, what is freedom? The dilemma is that if I go around the room, there's almost as many definitions as there are people. Because we all have a slightly different idea. We all have a slightly different nuance on what it means. We all are a little bit subjective because of our own lives. What is freedom? So what I'm going to do this morning is I would like to look at four scriptures. Two of them are virtually the same, so it's a bit like three scriptures, where we're going to just look at these and see what we can find out about freedom and take it from there. So let's look at the first one. The first one is in 2 Corinthians. These are the first two especially are fairly well known. 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 17. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Great. Would anybody like to come up here and tell me what that actually means? No. Okay. We'll leave it there for a minute then. So, that's one anyway. The Spirit of the Lord brings freedom. Hallelujah. That's great. It is great. It is great. Except we're not absolutely sure which freedom it means and what it means. Now, that's a problem for us because it's hard to enter into it if you don't actually know what it means. It's hard to take hold of it if you're not sure. Let's look at the next one. Galatians chapter 5 and verse 1. Another very well known. It is for freedom that Christ has set you free. Hallelujah. Well, that was a bit muted that time. That's because you know what I'm going to say, isn't it? So what does that one mean? Is that freedom the same as the last freedom? So already we have two freedoms. Two freedoms. Let's look at the next one. This absolutely blows you away. This is 1 Corinthians and chapter 6 and verse 12. Is that up? Just look at this first bit. Everything is permissible for me. Look at it below. Next one, just below. Everything is permissible for me. Paul says it twice. Everything is permissible for me. Wow. That sounds a bit like real freedom. That sounds like I can do what I like, when I like, how I like. Let's look at the next one. Because in just four chapters later, in chapter 10 and verse 23, he says, oh, what's the surprise? He said, everything is permissible. And he says it again, everything is permissible. Four times he says to the Corinthians, everything is permissible. Who likes that scripture? Isn't that great? Now, the sad part is that each of those, you'll see that the next word in each case is but. Oh, dear. But. Everything is permissible, but. I've lost this. In fact, it's disappeared completely. I don't know what I've done with it. It's gone. Never mind. It has gone. It's gone. But not everything is beneficial. Not everything is to my advantage. Not everything is helpful. Not everything will lead me into freedom. Are. Everything is permissible, everything is lawful for me, but not everything will be to my advantage. Oh, now that becomes a difficulty, doesn't it? Because now I have to start distinguishing between this freedom and that freedom. Now I have to decide, if I exercise my freedom like this, will it actually be helpful? Or will it not be helpful? More to the point as well, what about my freedom if I exercise my freedom, but it takes away your freedom? Oh, that doesn't sound too good either, because you're free as well. So not everything is helpful or beneficial. See, there's where it says, oh, it's still up there. Everything is constructive. There's various words, and it's interesting to look at the different versions, because they've all got sometimes got different words there. But it's all along those lines. Not everything will lead me into freedom. So I'd just like to go back across. I'm sure you're all itching to know these different freedoms. And I can just see it on your faces. So we're going to go back and we'll just look at that first one again. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. Now, the interesting thing is, it looks as if this scripture, is this verse, is just totally out of any sort of context. Because the context of it is about Moses going up the mountain and coming back down the mountain, having met with God, coming back down the mountain and being filled with the glory of the Lord. That's the context. And the scripture is basically saying, Paul is saying about this encounter, he's talking about the glory of the Lord and the glory that came with the first covenant. And don't you understand that if that glory came with the first covenant on Moses' face, how much greater will the glory be on your face because you're under the second covenant? His glory was under the covenant that brought death, but yours is under the covenant brings life and righteousness. Let's see the glory. Oh, yes, see a little bit of it there. How much greater is that? So he says this. So he says this to the Corinthians. So don't be afraid of the glory. Be bold. Don't cover it up like Moses covered it up. Let it there for all to see. Let everybody see the glory. Why? Because where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom to access the Father in the way that Moses did. But you can do it day by day. You have freedom because the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit is, he gives you access to the Father and to the glory. Did you know you are free to access the glory? Do you do that day by day? Do you say, Lord, that's the sort of freedom I want. Hallelujah. Now you can say hallelujah. The second one, Galatians. Some of you will know that the Galatians have got themselves into a mess. And in fact, chapter 3 starts, we haven't looked at it, but chapter 3, Paul says, oh, you foolish Galatians! Why have you started in the spirit and then gone on in the flesh? Why are you going backwards? They'd had some people start coming and telling them that they'd got to start doing this rule and following that rule again. They've got to be circumcised again. And Paul says, don't be silly. If you're going to be circumcised, you've got to follow all of the law, not just one bit of it. But Jesus has come to set you free. For freedom, he set you free. You're in prison, and I've come to set you free so you can get out of the prison. Not so you can say, oh, the door's open, but I'll stay here. The door's open, but I just like it in here. I think I'll stay locked up. No, no, no. He set you free. What from? He set you free from the law of sin and death. He set you free from what was going to happen to you. He set you free that the soul that sins will die. He set you free. You are free. You are free. You are free from the bondage of the sin that you were in. You are free from the death that would come. You are free to live the life that God has for you in Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Live in freedom. Live in the freedom that God brings. Now I want to come to everything is permissible. The scripture says that there are only two laws. Jesus said this. The first law, all the others were fulfilled. They weren't done away, but they were fulfilled in these two. The first one was, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and all your mind. And it says, the second is like it, love your neighbor as yourself. And the whole law, Jesus said, is fulfilled in those two commandments. Everything has been reduced to those two commandments. Now, these two passages, even though they say virtually the same thing, they're not the same freedoms again. Paul is actually saying two different things. So, I want to just quickly look at those two things. The first is, if we can find that would be great. It's the next one. Okay, so it says there, everything is permissible, but not everything is beneficial. Everything is permissible. Sorry, go back again. Everything is permissible, but not everything is, I can't remember what it was. Okay, pardon? Constructive. That's constructive. That's the second one. Okay, never mind. What Paul is saying is, but I must choose, if I want to be free, I must choose against the things that will put me in bondage. The fleshly things. Now, he talks about two different things in that first scripture in 1 Corinthians 6. He talks about immoral things. And I want to define that in my own way this morning so you understand. Basically, God calls things immoral if they... how can I say this? That if they affect him directly. So, for instance, what it says specifically there is that you should not be involved in immorality. Why? Because your body does not belong to you. It belongs to God. That's why you shouldn't be immoral. It's why you shouldn't kill anybody, because they belong to God. The life is in the blood, the Bible says, and the blood belongs to God. That's why the instruction was not to eat anything with the blood in it, because the blood belongs to God. Do you remember right at the very beginning when Cain killed Abel, God said to him, Abel's blood cries out to me from the ground. Because all blood belongs to God. Because the life is in the blood and God gives the life. That's why you can't, as it were, spill blood. So Paul puts together the whole of those things and says, let's learn from that straight away. They are a no-no. You always have to choose to honour God. Did you not know, he said in another place, that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit? You be careful with what you do in that way, because that belongs to God. Then Paul goes on to say, but all things are permissible, but I won't actually choose anything which is going to put me back into bondage. And these are not things that are immoral. These are moral things. These are things which are not in themselves necessarily sinful. I eat too much. I have to say, I'm not the only one. But that is not the issue, is it? The issue is Paul, and that's what I'm saying that because that's the one Paul chooses. Okay? I'll watch what I eat. Okay? All things are... Do you know, it's okay for me to eat anything. That was God's covenant with Noah. He said to Noah, here's the new covenant, Noah. You are now able to eat anything. A few things were taken away when it came to Moses' covenant, as we know. But that's beside the point. Okay, so it's permissible for me to eat anything. Does that mean that I can be like my 5-year-old grandchild who says, fine, I will live on a diet of ice cream? I just want to say this as in parentheses, that pralines and cream, Baskins and Robbins praline and cream is the ice cream we shall find in heaven. Okay, just saying that. Okay. I'm looking forward to it. Okay. But we know that isn't a sensible thing to do. Do you know, there's probably, I'm going to put guards on a limb here. Do you know, I probably think that, I'm looking around the room here, that every one of us here is able to live entirely on ice cream. But my guess is there's probably not a person here who's actually chosen to do that. Some of us might like to do it, but we've actually chosen within our freedom not to do it. And Paul says, I won't do anything that is going to put me into bondage to something. I won't do anything. So let's widen it out a little bit. Those things that do put us into bondage. Addictions. Games. Things on the telly. The things that actually we're not really, really in control of, in the sense that we don't make a conscious decision and choice within our freedom, I will do that. No, no. Oh, it's 7 o'clock. I've got to go and turn it on. Oh, there's a few little titters there. Or was it yours? Is yours 7:30? Okay, Paul says, no, I will exercise my freedom because it's all permissible, but I will not let anything put me back in that cell. Let's move on. The second one in 1 Corinthians and chapter 10. Paul says, all things are permissible. Everything is permissible for me. But I will not do anything. I will not exercise my freedom if it causes you a problem. Wow. I will not exercise my freedom if it creates difficulties for you. Why? We've dealt with this before, right at the beginning when I think I spoke about love. Because loving you is the most important thing. It's much more important. And if you recall the context again, Paul is saying about, I won't eat meat sacrificed to idols if that causes you a problem. For me, I'm totally free. I'm totally free. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter to me. My conscience is clear. But if it causes you a problem, I won't do it. Freedom. Freedom. Live in freedom. But. I have a right in my freedom to choose. My own definition of freedom is the opportunity. I have a total opportunity to do what is right. Nothing prevents me from doing what is right. I want to tell you a story, true story, just to, as it were, in conclusion, slightly different aspect of freedom. When my grandson, Jude, was 2, I went with my daughter and her family to a theme park. And he was the little one. We didn't go for his benefit. He doesn't even remember he was there, of course. He just happened to be 2 years old and tagged along because we couldn't leave him on his own at home. So there we were at the theme park. And we sat down to have something to eat outside. And a 2-year-old does not want to sit down and do nothing, as it were. So he started to wander. And every time he wandered a little bit, my daughter was continually saying, Jude, come here, come here, Jude, come here, don't go there. So it went on, and in the end, I was a bit, you know, I've said I don't like laws and rules and regulations. So I said, it's okay, just let him. I will look after him. So I let Jude wander. He just went off amongst the crowds on his own. That created a little bit of consternation, actually. It was quite interesting for me to watch the faces of the adults who saw this little 2-year-old apparently on his own, because I didn't go with him in the sense that I was right up. I stayed about 2 yards behind him at a slight angle, and wherever he went, I just wandered behind him. So lots of adults thought he was on his own. Who on earth is letting a 2-year-old go out on their own, just wandering around like this? Who's looking after him? You could see they were looking around like this, finding tools. And I was just obliquely looking like the other way. And Jude went off and did his thing. He wandered around by near the flower beds, and he went over to some tables where lots of other people were eating. And they all said, hello, you know, the usual thing. And he wandered past them. And I just let him have total freedom. And he exercised it. It was great, actually. He just did his own little thing and went wherever he thought it was nice to explore. But there were some reins on him, but not physical ones. And that was because I was just 2 yards away. And I knew that if I said in a voice that he understood, Jude, he would stop immediately. Do you know, that brings freedom. I want to ask you a question. What if you and God did that? What if you just had total freedom to wander through life, but God was just 2 yards behind you all the time? And that he knew Whenever he said, stop, you would stop. Do you know? That's actually how it is. It's just that most of the time you didn't know it, or you're not aware of it. In fact, God is a lot closer than 2 yards. The scripture says that the Holy Spirit is right beside you. The scripture says that God is at your right hand and your left hand, and he's above you. The scripture says that underneath you are the everlasting arms. The scripture says that by his Spirit he is on the inside. He indwells you. Now look at what the word says. Let's look at this verse in Isaiah. It's a word you all know. Isaiah 30, verse 21. Whether you turn to the right or to the left, you have a choice. You're free. Your ears will hear a voice behind you saying, hey, this is the way. Walk this way. Oh, okay, Lord. Okay, Lord. That's fine. Do you know, if we did that all the time, we would be in perfect freedom. We could go anywhere. Mothers only put reins on children because the children do not obey. My daughter has a dog called Chester. There's always these funny names, aren't there? Chester is as good as gold inside the house. Chester will come up, you tell him to get down, he gets down. You tell him to shut up, and he basically shuts up. You tell him to say, come on now, and he'll stand up and beg up and put up a paw and so on. But as soon as he goes out through the door, Chester becomes a wild animal. He will go anywhere at 90 miles an hour and you've had it. Unless you put a rein on Chester when he's out, you're in deep trouble. Because there is no obedience from him outside at all. Outside, you have to restrict his freedom because he can't make the right choices. With little children, you sometimes have to restrict their freedom because they can't make the right choices. Let me ask you, does God have to restrict your freedom because you don't make the right choices? The answer to that is no. God does not restrict anybody's freedom. But you bear the consequences of your bad choices. In fact, as we well know, that if you make the wrong choices in society, they will lock you up completely and take away your freedom. We need to understand freedom because we have been given freedom, and we are given the chance to walk in freedom. And God wants us to walk in freedom. Jesus paid the price for us to be in freedom. God wants us to live free. And obedience equates exactly to freedom. The more you obey, the freer you are. Not the opposite, which is what the world says. Listen, the more you obey, the freer you become. The more you walk in the Spirit, the freer you become. you become. Give up those things. Make those right choices. Get out of the cell that you live in. Make the choice and live in the freedom that Christ has bought for you. Amen.